Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yogi Roth, we're sitting here watching TV.
Let's go.
The Rose Bowl, and it's pouring with rain.
Yeah.
Pouring with rain back home, but were you a little bit disappointed that Washington, Michigan didn't make the Rose Bowl?
I was disappointed that, yes, for a bunch of reasons. One is I think Washington should still be in the Rose Bowl as the one seed. I think that what they've proven to do over the course of the season against ranked opponents time and time again is more impressive than what Michigan did against three ranked opponents, two of which had fired their offensive coordinator at some point during the season or after the game. On that, yes. Also with a family, you know, you wish you were there for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But it's also the Rose Bowl. And you're right. I was kind of rooting for Georgia because if they won, it would have been UW-Michigan. Who knows who, 2-3, who would have been what? It doesn't really matter. But it would have been great for the fans. And that's kind of, I think, where my heart kind of breaks a little bit for fans of Washington who I know have made the trip here. But it would have been fun to see them at the Rose Bowl in a classic Big Ten Pac-12 match.
And Washington has Michigan on the schedule next year.
Yeah, of course they do.
Oh, that would have been wild.
Yeah.
You know, you've followed Washington for quite some time. You know, I know that you really enjoy dealing with Coach Pete and then Jimmy Lake and Kalen DeBoer and, you know, Dylan Morris and Michael Penix. Just give me kind of the, you know, high above the stadium view of what you perceive this program's gone through in the transitions.
Well, I'll go all the way back to Sark. You know, yeah. I almost joined his staff in 2009 when he took the job. And I can remember being in his office when he got the job offered. And at the time, Washington was not looked at as the job it is today. Right? They had lost 13 straight games. They were just struggling. I can remember coaching against them when we were at SC. And, you know, they were always competitive games, but we were always end up on top. And he goes, yo, this thing has what you need to become big time. I'm taking the job. Let's go. And being able to watch it, and I did a doc on Jake Locker, his first year, if you remember, or his final year, if you remember that. And it was just really cool to see what the UW fan base could be when there was hope. And I think Sark provided that, which got them, you know, the remake around the stadium. And then here comes Coach Pete. And then to your point of, you know, Jimmy Lake to Kalen, like, it's just been a beautiful trajectory to watch this program because it's got such a pride around it from its fan base. And I've just loved it. Observing that, and of course calling games for the last, you know, I was calling games when Sark was there on Fox, you know, to see the trajectory has been beautiful because this is a blue blood. This is a program that should have the standard to be getting to games like this every year. They do get the best players and will continue to get elite players in the country and send them to the NFL. And I love that because the standard's back. And Coach Peterson, of course, got it there. Now Kalen DeBoer is taking it back. And I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon.
Do you remember your first impressions when you first met Kalen DeBoer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can remember it like yesterday. And I met him when he was actually at Fresno State. I called UCLA Fresno State when Jake Haener beat the Bruins in this epic game where Haener was getting banged up left and right. And, you know, I went to practice, got to meet Coach DeBoer, be around him, interview him in advance of the game. And the first thing that stood out to me was how prepared he was for our production meetings. And then as I've gotten to know him, he prepares for everything, right? Whether it's his media involvement, a one-on-one with you, that's just who he is. And then as you continue to get to know him, you know, you do the quick bio search, and you're like, all this guy's done is win. And I always love going back and being like, what type of athlete was he? And you find out he was an absolute shark in everything that he did. I mean, he's just an elite player. And then I always think that players reflect the head coach's personality. And when you were the type of athlete he was, and you watch this team play now, they have his personality. That's why I think this game is amazing, because both teams have that. They have that aggressive, you know, Shark Tank mentality. They're going to go blood in the water. Let's get after it.
You played wide receiver. I have to imagine at some point you thought, man, man, this would be a fun offense to play in. Can you imagine?
Game one, I call. It was actually training camp. Yeah. First time I went to practice, his first year. And they still hadn't named a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And I watched Michael Penix throw a couple balls. I can remember it was to Wayne Tualapapa, a little wheel route. And I was like, Coach, I ain't seen a throw like that in a while in this league. And I haven't seen schemes like this in a long time. And you just start to learn and watch. And, yeah, I don't think I'd play because I think they'd recruit way better players than me. But, yeah, everybody has a role. Like if somebody asked me, who's your key player in this game, I'd say Jack Westover because he always has a role on third down. Like, everybody's made a play. You go back to the Arizona game and Devin Culp with that amazing touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Like, all year long, there's a visual of somebody making a play. And the visual I always have from calling the games is up top, you just see movement. And I love offenses where guys are catching the ball on the move. I think it's dramatically better than some of the static offenses we see around the country in college football. And that's what gives UW a chance because they create explosive plays. And if they get a couple turnovers, it's a wrap.
One of the things I remember from earlier this year was watching Max Brown drool over Michael Penix. Yeah. What makes Michael special?
Well, I think there's a few things that are obvious, right? Arm talent, ball location, I think is special, especially down the field. His willingness to, I think, complete more balls than most quarterbacks even attempt. It's important to differentiate that. But I go back to the Arizona game where they want to drop eight, no problem. He'll bleed you out, you know? And I think he has that on the field. He sees it with incredible clarity. He knows where the ball needs to go. He's not afraid to take a risk, but put it in the right spot so it's, you know, low risk percentage. But then I go to off the field. I've gotten to know him, I think, pretty well. Doing a feature on him over the summer, being around his coaches. He's gone through so much adversity that I think it's become the hallmark for this team. He's gone through it. Edafuan's gone through it. ZTF has gone through it. Rome has gone through it. Jalen has gone. They've all gone through it in their own way. And I just look at that and I say, I would want to ride with this guy because it just feels as though he's got this mindset that is laser focused. And having watched quarterbacks for a long time now, some of them have too many hanger-ons. You know, some of them, I think, look for the spotlight a little too much. Mike is about business. And I think that's really been reflected within the walls of that facility, whether it's watching him in workouts, practice, meetings. And I think that's allowed this team to have this killer instinct that Coach DeBoer told me this season. He goes, I think we got it. And after week two, I think we had the Tulsa game. He goes, this killer instinct's developing. And now they have it. They're truly built for this stage. And it's because of a lot of things. Michael Penix Jr.'s mentality and what he's gone through is a big part of it.
One more. Yeah. You know Steve Sarkisian as well as anybody. He is not the same guy today that we dealt with at Washington. And I thought he was pretty good at Washington. Explain to Husky fans how Steve Sarkisian has processed going through his journey and how different he is today than he was back then.
Yeah, well, I think he's almost 50. And got the
is
job
he that old?
Too.
He was like 34 when
34,
he got hired.
So I talked to him today for a while at Media Days. I'm sure you had a chance to say hello to him. And I asked him that exact question. I said, have you been able to zoom out and look at your life? And I think my question was, what is it like to be you right now? And he sat back and he goes, you know, I'm so appreciative of my time in Washington because it allowed me to go through things professionally, personally, developing a team, developing a culture, learning, take another job, struggling. You know, his issues with alcohol have been well documented, and he had to live that in the public eye. And now he's like, I've never been happier in my life. I think from a play caller standpoint, he's always been aggressive. From an offensive philosophy standpoint, he's always had a certain lens that is just so unique. I think he's, and Ryan Grubb, I think we're looking at the two best play callers you could argue in the country. I mean, they're in the conversation, top five, I'd say. But I think his just maturation of being with Coach Carroll and then being on his own and then going through what he went through at SC and then being around Nick Saban and the NFL, like all of those things have allowed him to pull from all of those guys and still be Steve Sarkisian. And I can remember this. This is a memory that's coming to my head. We're in his car in LA and we're driving up to something around the ESPYs. This is 20 years ago now. And we're listening to this guy, Seattle native Lou Tice.
Right, yeah.
Some of your listeners may know who Lou Tice is.
Oh, yeah, everybody up in Seattle knows Lou Tice.
And Lou would always come around a lot. Pete Carroll and Lou were, like, best buds. And Lou would come in and often talk about, like, if you're looking for a parking spot and you start focusing on the parking spot, the parking spot will appear, right? And it's this whole idea of like, what are you focusing on? What are you going to attract? And I think for Steve Sarkisian, like, he's always focused on building like a really healthy culture and one that can win for a sustained period of time. And I think we're going to start seeing that at Texas. And I think it's because it's the best, most crystal clear version of Steve Sarkisian. He's always had magic. I felt that when I met him when I was 18 for the first time. I was like, this guy's like Pete. This guy is unique, right? Just like when you meet Chris Peterson, just like you meet Kalen DeBoer, like you can just kind of feel it. And now he's just a mature version of that. And I think for UW fans, like, know that he's got such great reverence for that place because it gave him his shot. And he knows that he wouldn't be here without that experience. And he made that very clear to me today when we talked.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.